You are now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show on Giant 90.9 from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports, hosted by Landon Nelson, Olin Pulley, and Trey Hanna.
Good morning, race fans, and welcome to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly, and alongside me are my co-hosts, the biggest Purdue fan I know. Give a round of applause for Garrett Burkle.
How about them Spartans? I think they beat IU last night by 15, so that was awesome waking up to that.
How are your Boilermakers doing?
They had a nice round. I don't think they won by 30. It was around 30, maybe 29, 30 points. Beat Ohio State. And I understand Ohio State's not that good, but still, to get a bounce-back win after two straight losses, you know, win by almost 30, it's pretty good feeling,
I'd
say.
All right, that's awesome, buddy. Also, I'm joined by the great Owen Pulley. How you doing today, bud?
I'm doing fantastic. Even though the Hoosiers lost, it's all right.
Last but not least, I'm joined by the biggest Jeff Gordon fan I know. Give him a round of applause for Maxwell Gilly. How you doing today, Max?
I'm doing good. I don't care about those two schools, but the Fighting Jackson Whites at Ball State won, so...
Go Cardinals.
Well, let's get into your racing news. We're gonna start off with Speed Weeks at Daytona. Max, I got some amazing news. Like, it's like a one of those underdog stories and wins. Oh yeah, Owen, flex your Indiana State shirt off. But yeah, so we have one of those, you know, just, you know, amazing underdog stories for the ARCA Menards series at the Daytona 200, a local short track racing driver won at Daytona. Greg Van Lest or something like that. If I butcher that name, I apologize. But he started seventh, he finished first. I mean, what a story to see, you know, an underdog driver win at Daytona. You know, just a local short tracker gets the money to go ARCA racing. It's great to see and hear. It's just a beautiful story. Max, you have any thoughts on that?
I am so glad. I feel like that's what the point of the ARCA Menards series should be, instead of having 18 and 19 year olds just going there to wreck equipment each and every single week, which it has been the past few years. So I'm just really glad to see a story like that, and I hope that we see more stories like that. The ARCA Menards series, it's getting better than it was a couple years ago, so I'm for sure excited to see what we will get to see as the season goes on.
He's also racing full-time, so if this is any indication on how, you know, his car and team's going to be, maybe he'll win a couple more races and maybe have a shot at the championship.
We're going to have to see for sure. I mean, if you can win at Daytona, that's a lot of great momentum would we get in the championship chase, so we're going to have to see. But biggest thing is he won't have nearly as much funding as some of the other guys. Like, I know he gets the Daytona 500 win, but that's going to be the biggest issue with that. The Mark Menard series is just the vast talents.
Vittorini, like your big teams like Vittorini and Joe Gibbs, they have a ton of funding and equipment, GMS. And this is just some, this is called Vince Concrete / CB Fabricating Sam Pierce Chevy. That was what they were running. I thought that was like the actual team name, but I mean, it is the team, but it's his own team. That's Greg Van Lest's own team. He's a, you know, owner driver. It's just great. It's just a great story. So, we'll see. Hopefully he can, you know, be a threat in the ARCA Menards series and the championship. So, moving on, for the Craftsman Truck Series, Zane Smith won back-to-back at Daytona in a rain-shortened race. Really disappointing to see it rain out, but he definitely had the truck, and he was definitely very competitive in the race. Christian Eckes was extremely competitive as well, just didn't, you know... he led a lot of laps. He actually, you know, it's crazy. He walked away with the most points. He had 50 points, which that's the thing with those stages. But you necessarily don't have to, you know, win the race to, you know, have the most points leaving that race.
I got to give Christian Eckes a whole lot of credit. He's really improved the last few years. I know he was a playoff driver, but he wasn't one that was for sure going to be a threat. I know it's the first race of the year in Daytona, but you have to feel good getting the most points and just performing well. So, I mean, Zane Smith, he's already shown that he is the real deal in the Truck Series, yep. But I'm looking forward to see what Christian Eckes can bring the rest of the year.
Yeah, he's driving a new team. It's I believe it's – I'm trying to think of the – I think it's like if I can – I'm really butchering this right now. It's Derek Krause used to drive for the team. I believe it's like it's like BMR Racing or something like that. I'm pretty sure it's like Billy McIndall Racing or something like that. If you could fact check me, Max, on that. But I know he's in a new team. It's a new manufacturer as well. They're used to driving Toyotas on that team, but you know, changing to Chevrolet and you know, walking away third, leading a ton of laps, and scoring the most points is just a great sight to see for that team, and they're definitely more competitive as of right now compared to last season with Derek Krause. It was McIndall Hilgeman Racing. I was close. So HMR Racing. So it's just a great story. So Zane Smith won at Daytona in the Craftsman Truck Series. Tanner Gray with a good result for Tricon Racing. Used to be David Gillen Racing. They rebranded to Toyota, so it's good to see there. Just good run for him because they really struggled last season performance-wise. Moving on to the Xfinity Series, Austin Hill back-to-back at Daytona wins. He is really good at these restrictor plate races, Max. I mean, RCR equipment, I mean, he knows how to, you know, run up front and be there at the end.
It was interesting to see that we had a couple back-to-backs at Daytona for sure. It shows that you need to have experience to win there, but congratulations to Austin Hill. I'm really looking forward to see what he can do with RCR as we look forward towards the rest of the season. Again, it's the first race of the year. We've seen this so many times. A guy may win the first race. They're going to be in the playoffs, but then they end up inevitably
first round exit.
Yeah, and just collapsing. But who knows? We'll have to wait and see. But
he did score the most points out of any driver with 58, and he won the race. Extremely competitive last year on the restricted plates. One at Atlanta, that's reconfigurated, and then one at Daytona as well last season, and was very consistent. Everywhere else he went, and he made the champion. I believe he made the championship four, round of eight. He made it pretty far in the playoffs, but he's just very good driver and competitive. Cole Custer, he finished ninth back in the Xfinity Series. He scored 30 points. I was glad to see he had a good run in the Xfinity Series. But, you know, Riley Herbst finished sixth in the Xfinity Series. He scored 35 points, so... good result for Stuart Haas Racing. That's probably one of the best super speedway finishes they've had in the Xfinity Series in a long time.
That's truly the best, I would say, Riley Herbst has been.
Oh, yeah, agreed.
He for sure, I think, realizes that this is a make-it-or-break-it year for him. We'll talk later about his Cup Series performance, but to be 100% honest, he has been, say, he has been... awful. I think he was rushed a bit too much to get there. He had the Monster Energy sponsorship. That's why he was able to get such a good ride. But when you had a ride that a couple years ago had the most wins in the Xfinity Series, and then you can barely compete even for a top 10, that's really problematic. So I think he's heard all the noise. He has definitely been working in the offseason, and he is looking like he will be competitive, which I'm all for. I don't want to see guys... Yeah. End up having their careers cut short. So good for him. I'm really excited to see what he can bring.
Yeah, agreed, Max, agreed. Junior Motorsports really, they had this win. I mean, they had all their cars were running up front with Brandon Jones, Justin Allgaier, Sam Mayer, and Josh Berry, and they really blew it. Eric Estep does the Out of the Groove show on YouTube. He made a video about how it was the worst the worst teamwork ever at Daytona. I believe that all guy went to block Mayer and they like wrecked their cars. And I bet Dale Jr. was very happy about that, their finish when they could have won this race. Because all their four cars were up, it was all four against one. They failed to win the race, which I don't even know how that's possible.
That is one of the biggest concerns of the Xfinity Series. It's an awful trend that's going on. We saw Ty Gibbs last year wreck one of his teammates, who now happens to be on Joe Gibbs Racing.
Oh, Joe, John Hunter Nemechek. Yeah, he finished second, actually.
So, it is shown that we have some issues in the Xfinity Series. They aren't being very good team players, and if any of those guys want to make the Cup Series, you have to be a good teammate, or else you're not going to be making it that far because your owner is not going to be happy.
Oh, yeah, agreed. Especially, you know, you have four cars, four Junior Motorsports cars going against one Richard Childress car. How do you not get the win there? Like, that's bad teamwork, and, I mean, you should be just happy that, you know, one of your cars, you know, one of your teammates won the race. I mean, it'd be incredible if all your cars finished 1, 2, 3, 4 in the Daytona 500. I don't know if that's ever happened. I know that in the Cup Series with, you know, Hendrick Motorsports, you know, when Jeff Gordon won his first, you had Jeff Gordon, Terry Labonte, and Ricky Craven 1, 2, 3, which that was the first ever 1, 2, 3 in the Daytona 500. I still think it's the latest we've ever seen the 1, 2, 3 at Daytona in the Daytona 500.
We're going to have to wait and see, and again, that's the biggest thing since we are so early into this season, but watch out. There could definitely be a culture issue that will need to be addressed, and it'll need to be addressed soon.
Moving on to the NASCAR Cup Series, 30-1 odds, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. for JTG Doherty Racing wins the Daytona 500. Max, what are your thoughts?
Insane, really. I had joked with you
Monday. I can't believe that actually happened.
On Monday, I was like, oh, watch Ricky Stenhouse Jr. win the Daytona 500. That's not going to happen, right? And he ends up winning it. I mean, that's what you want to see. You want to see a guy who's in a one-car team, a really small team, get to win the biggest event of the year. It was some circumstances that people are not fans of course, with the overtime rule. We'll get into that as the show goes on, but I am excited to see, because he genuinely was so excited to win it.
Oh, yeah.
You see in all of the pictures, his life is forever changed. He doesn't need to win anything else anymore, truly, when you've won the Daytona 500.
You know what's crazy? He walked into Waffle House with the trophy, and he just bought it in. I was like, hey, we're hungry. And everyone was like, you won the Daytona 500? Yeah. And he's like, and they're all celebrating at Waffle House, which is just a great story. And it's just, that's just awesome. You know, just connecting with, you know, the fans and the community. I mean, that's just, it's just a good, great story. We're going to go over the top 10 of the Daytona 500. Obviously, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. won the race. Joey Logano, Christopher Bell, Chris Buescher, Alec Bowman, AJ Allmendinger. Which, what a performance he put on in the Daytona 500. I mean, that was crazy. He was out here, I think he was at 1.2 laps down.
For Colic Racing, AJ Allmendinger just feels like he's a completely different driver since he joined Colic Racing. He is looking great. He's already won in the Cup Series at Indy. He's racing full-time with them now. It is.
He looked really aggressive. Like, he looked fantastic out there racing. but, I mean, he took the lead at one point, and then he fell all the way back. He was competitive. I mean, with, you know, a colleague becoming full-time, you know, not having the biggest funding as, like, you know, Stuart Haas Racing and Joe Gibbs and Hendrick Motorsports, stuff like that. I mean, it's just a great story. And then you're moving on to Daniel Suarez, who at one point spun in the grass. And then he came back to finish 7th. And then Ryan Blaney finishing 8th with that torn-up front end of a car comes home 8th. So there was a lot of chaos in this race. Ross Chastain crashed at one point, finishes 9th. And then Riley Herbst, at his first start in the Cup Series, finishes 10th.
He was consistently in the back row, but he managed to avoid the big one. He managed to get through all of those crashes. And again, he is such a young guy, so to be able to see him do that, I'm really excited to see what he can potentially bring the rest of the year.
Props to Travis Pastrana finishing 11th.
Started last.
Yeah.
It is... No one expected him to be doing very well. They were just happy to see him get in the race. And to have been able to see him do that, it's just crazy.
And then Kevin Harvick in his final Daytona 500 start finishes 12th. He was really competitive all day long. Just he got sent to the back. Either the Fords miscommunicated and he just, you know, got trapped in that hole and he fell all the way back to the back. But he was definitely clawing his way back and he got in a crash. I really felt like Kevin Harvick had a really good car to win the Daytona 500. And then Zane Smith finishes 13th. Great first Daytona 500 for him. Good story there. Jimmy Johnson was up towards the front as well. He finished 31st. He got caught in a crash. He was really competitive.
Yeah, he was moving.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was really getting
up the field.
What a terrible day for 23-11. I mean, Tyler Reddick 39th, and then Bubba Wallace. I'm trying to figure out what Bubba finished.
20th.
I mean, not a great day at all for 23-11. Max, do you have any input on that?
That was shocking for both of them, just because we've seen how talented one Bubba is on the super speedways and just how talented Reddick is overall. Just incredibly shocking, but it's Daytona. That's all we can really say.
Yeah, I'm right with you there, buddy. So,
and then my boy Connor Daly finished 29th.
Yeah,
and
I know you're
big. I mean, he barely even made it. How he made it into the Daytona 500, I gotta give him a whole lot of credit, because that car is awful.
I actually agree with you there. I think it was pretty impressive him making the field to start
that
with.
Car
and then
was bad, dude. The car
again,
was
I mean,
great.
He was, I don't want to say he was up there because he didn't finish 29th, but again, I mean, he kept it out of trouble. He was able to make it to the checker flag, and I think that was pretty impressive in your, I don't think it was his Cup debut, but and on your first super speedway.
It was his Oval debut, I thought.
Yeah, it was his Oval debut. Yeah.
That's right, because he only did Rovals, yeah. So I thought that was pretty impressive. I don't know about what you guys think about that, but I thought Connor Daly did show off, you know, some potential there. And, yeah, I mean, it was good to see, you know, him, you know, finish the Daytona 500. And, yeah, again, he's one of the very – I don't want to say few. There's quite a few of them. But he's one of the drivers that have competed, started, and finished in both the Daytona and Indianapolis 500. So, good for Connor.
You're listening to All Gas and No Brakes on WBG FM HD1 Indianapolis, discussing NASCAR Daytona results. Yeah, agreed, Garrett. Much agreed. The Fords were really competitive all day long in that race. The Stewart Haas cars looked really strong until they had a big crash after I don't even know what happened with Michael McDowell. Like it was something with like the gas and one of the I think it was I don't know whose car, but it was like an exchange in the gas, and then like he checked up and then chaos, and then Harvick got in the crash. It was really just sad to see, because they were up front all day long of that race.
I mean, RFK Racing looked completely different than they had 1 year ago to now. Keselowski was leading for a lot of it. Buescher was competitive. He obviously finished fourth.
It was just the crash and the big one. I was not a fan of the ending. Kyle Busch, man, what does he have to do to win this race? Like, he leads a ton of laps. So does Brad Keselowski. They don't win the race. And then this restart, which this is what I was thinking, that you would. I mean, I get what they're trying to do. Put Austin Dillon on the bottom put him on the inside. Kyle Busch come down low, and they had the whole line, ready to push. But that never happened. Like, they were all stacked up, and he got lost momentum, and then the lead gets taken away, and there's a crash. My thoughts were, Austin Dillon line up in third, and then you have Kyle Busch on the inside, and then they push all the way into turn one and two, and Kyle Busch takes the lead and wins the Daytona 500.
I mean, it was looking to be that way just by that they were 1-2. Again, this they had the choose cone rule now for the first time on these super speedways. It showed.
Are you a fan of it?
I actually am. I like seeing what it can do. I like that it gives you extra strategy, and it shows teams that are willing to work with each other and teams that are not. And I still don't know why RCR decided to do that the way they could.
I didn't get it.
You saw just the owner when they had him on Fox. He couldn't believe what was going on. So that was just a real lack of communication there. So
Kyle Busch came down. I was like, you need to push him now. Like, you got to go. Because I believe Keselowski took the lead, and then it was Ford's up front, and then they went to come into pit road. Yeah. They went to come into pit road, and then it was just they had the big one. Kyle Busch gets involved. Basically, Brad Keselowski, again, leads the most laps in the Daytona 500 and doesn't win the race. It's like Dale Earnhardt Sr. trying to go for 20 tries. It took him 20 tries to finally win one. Also, another crazy statistic is, you know, Tony Stewart and Dale Earnhardt have won the most, like, expedition races at Daytona. Only one Daytona 500 going to Dale Earnhardt Sr. in 98. It's just insane. So we're going to move on to, you know, Max. So where did your five drivers you predicted when the Daytona 500 finished?
So my five drivers I had were Denny Hamlin, Ryan Blaney, Bubba Wallace, Kyle Busch, and Ty Gibbs. Ty Gibbs being a chaos pick, dark horses for Kyle Busch and Bubba Wallace. Hamlin finished 17th, Blaney 8th. Bubba Wallace had contact at the end. He finished his 20th, 19th for Busch, who had contact. And Ty Gibbs finished 25th. Again, this is why you just cannot give predictions at Daytona, especially because of now NASCAR overtime rules. It truly, it almost feels like the 200 laps don't matter. It's just, can you crash out everyone else to win on the very end?
Even though Max did say that, or all of his picks were kind of not in the, you know what I mean, not in the top, like, five, you know, but he did say Stenhouse Jr., just throwing it out there, so he threw out the winner.
Yeah, that is true. Here are my five picks. Denny Hamlin, he finished 17th. Joey Logano finished 2nd. Man, I was so, I was aggravated, because if that would have went green the rest of the way, Joey Logano was winning the Daytona 500. I have no doubt. I will say that I will say that all the confidence in the world, he was going to win the Daytona 500, which stinks, because I swear he was ahead. But apparently the video said he wasn't, but I was watching it from home. I have a TV, so I'm not actually at the race, so I wouldn't have known. So, it's just stuff like that. So, Chase Elliott finished 38th. He crashed out. It was a bad day for Chase. The Hendrick cars kind of were not the greatest. They're great qualifying speed, but never really showed up to race day. At one point, Alec Bowman was he was out of the top 10 at one point. They were just not that strong, but they got strong towards the later in the race. Ryan Blaney finished 8th, and the last but not least, Kevin Harvick finished 12th in his final Daytona 500 start. So, that's the recap of the Daytona Speed Weeks. Moving on to...
Before we move on, I'm sorry, Landon, I didn't mean to cut you off.
You're good, bro.
I cannot stand, and this is just me as a racing fan in general, I don't really watch NASCAR. And you know why I don't watch NASCAR? It's because of the stupid, in my opinion, overtime rules. I cannot stand that. Because, again, if it would have went green, I don't like the Daytona 500 and the Indianapolis 500 ending under yellow. But I understand it needs to happen sometimes. Like this, like last year's Indianapolis 500, where Marcus Ericsson won, came down to the wire. They threw the yellow flag, or they threw the red flag out with, what was it, 4 laps to go around there. I didn't like that. And again, I'm, you know, you could call me an old head or whatnot. I understand in some points, like in 2014, they red flagged it. They had 20 laps to the finish. I understand that in a way. Plus, there was enough damage to where it wouldn't have ended under green. It would have been close, but it didn't, and they threw the red flag, got it all cleaned up, went out to race 20 more laps. That's understandable. If NASCAR did that, that's fine. But I cannot stand the overtime rules, because, again, I don't think it's very fair. I don't think it was fair to Kyle Busch.
No, agree.
I don't think it was fair to Kyle Busch.
No, because I'll go 100% on that. Him and Austin Dillon were the most, towards the later in that race, RFK cars were farther behind. Mm-hmm. They probably the most competitive cars to win other than the RFK cars, but they had work to do. And I feel like Kyle Busch was going to win the 500.
I totally agree.
Yeah, me and you were texting over the Daytona 500. I'm like, we're pulling for Kyle Busch. Like, it's going to happen. Do it for Dale Earnhardt. Right. Like, it's going to happen. He's the closest thing Richard Childress has had to Dale Earnhardt Sr. And I was so annoyed because I'm like, it's like that was the 17th try.
Right.
Like that, I mean,
I'm sure he'll get one eventually, especially with the team he's on now.
I mean, I feel like after the speed they had, they're going to be a threat on super speedways and Atlanta.
I could maybe even see a tight championship out of that car.
Oh, yeah. It
was quick.
Yeah.
It was a quick race car.
Yeah.
But I've shown you the quote before. Richard Petty said, right, it was probably around 15, 20 years ago.
He said
his quote was that, you know, NASCAR, you know, was popular because it didn't, you know, imitate the NFL. It didn't imitate the overtime rules. It didn't, you know, imitate the halftime or something like that. That's why, you know, that's one of the reasons why it was popular. And they have totally tried to copy the NFL to get viewership. And I cannot stand that. But again, that's a different argument for a different day. But I just wanted to, you know, say.
Because, like, the stages are like quarters.
Exactly.
Your first stage, your second stage, and stage three is the final quarter. Mm-hmm. So three quarters.
Yeah, I cannot stand it at all. I think NASCAR, again, if I'm NASCAR, I would just, you know, go back to the old rule book. Go back to what made you popular, you know, where, again, you race the whole, you don't have stage races. You don't have that bonus point thing. Again, you just race to the checkered flag. And I think that's what NASCAR should do. But, again, that is what it is.
So one of the reasons why the IndyCar season was so fun last year.
Oh, it was awesome.
Was because they do not have the playoffs.
You're exactly right.
Like NASCAR does.
Sorry, Max, interrupt. I can go on all day about this topic. I am never really been a fan of the playoffs. Okay, you look at Kevin Harvick in 2020. He wins either eight races, and then he loses the championship, which I don't – Like, that makes zero sense at all. He was the most consistent driver of the field, and he doesn't win the championship. And he wins the most races, which is, like, insane, and he doesn't come away with the championship. I was happy Chase Elliott won the championship, but – You got to look at eight wins and the best average finish and how consistent he was that whole year and doesn't come away with it.
The biggest thing is the regular season is meaningless, truly, until we get to the last race of the year. It doesn't matter.
No, so basically, if I'm racing, I could go winless the whole entire year, and then I either advance my way by winning a race in the round of eight to go to the round of four, or I make it on points, or I, you know, win the final race of the year, and it's my one and only win, but, you know, I didn't win a race at all and was extremely consistent and made it. But, you know, even guys like Ryan Blaney was the most consistent driver in the field and was struggling to make a playoff spot. And he was going to be the championship leader if it was just the regular system.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, I mean, it's just crazy. I don't understand. I mean, I love NASCAR. It's my favorite auto sport. Grew up watching it when I was 3 years old. But, I mean, the fans have wanted the playoff system to be gone.
Right, and that's what my dad was actually talking about. My dad and I are very casual NASCAR fans. We watch around three races a year, Talladega, Daytona, and the IMS race. So, again, we're not huge NASCAR fans at all. Him and his family used to be. But anyway, what I was saying was that he texted me after the race, or he called me after the race, and he was like, who in their right mind, what NASCAR fan in their right mind would like the system that they're in right now? The overtime rules, the quarters or whatever. He said, who in their right mind would like that? I was like, you know, you have a really good point. And he's like, you know, maybe I don't watch enough NASCAR to understand the whole thing. But he's just like, to me at least, he said it's pretty silly. So I totally agree with him.
So at this point, what's the point of the regular season if we have a playoffs? Like, at this point, you win all those races and then you could be out in the first round. Your championship hopes are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what, you know, I'm going to bring up a point. 1992, Alan Kulwicki wins the championship only on two wins.
Mm-hmm.
Bristol and I think he won it. I don't think he won Atlanta in the final year, but I know he had two wins.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of them was at Bristol for sure. I think one of them was at Phoenix. He was really good on the short tracks. Anyways,
he was so consistent.
Yeah, the thing was, he's so dang consistent that he was a threat in the championship. And I mean, that it's just like what it. It's just, it blows my mind. Like, it's just insane.
And that is why I brought up the willpower example from a year ago, because that's exactly what he did to win an IndyCar.
It's like, I don't understand it.
Yeah, I mean, Power only had one win last year.
Oh my gosh.
He was consistent the entire
podiums, season. I mean, that's why he beat Newgarden.
Top five, top tens in the title. Week.
Newgarden had the most wins, but he was not as consistent. The average finish was, I think, Power had him by like, I don't even, like five positions or something like that. It was crazy.
And I think Will Power. I think the only time I don't think he finished out the top 20 all year. I think his worst finish was 18th around there. So
he probably had
the entire season, and that was only one.
Yeah, he probably had a failure or something like that. I mean, I like Team Penske. I'm a big Team Penske guy, but I mean, I don't understand the NASCAR playoff system. I don't get it.
Need to have a whole episode dedicated.
We got to keep moving on. Yeah. But NASCAR racing continues this weekend with the NASCAR Xfinity Series heading to the reconfigured 2-mile track of Auto Club Speedway. Starts Saturday, February 25th at 5 o'clock p.m. on Fox Sports 1. Then on Sunday, the Cup guys will be taking on the 2-mile oval of Auto Club Speedway Sunday, February 26th at 3:30 p.m. on Fox. Well, that wraps it up for the NASCAR news. I have one bit of SRX news. He was a NASCAR driver. Dirt track extraordinaire. That's what the SRX series are saying, which he is. Fantastic dirt track driver and a great personality. Had a great personality on Fox. Kenny Wallace. Max, what are your thoughts?
I'm really excited to see him race in the SRX series. He is a great personality.
Oh, yeah. If he wins, the interview is going to be hilarious.
Exactly. And, he's obviously shown that he is a very talented driver, and he still races today too. Isn't one of
him
those
and Bobby
guys?
Labonte, they were just—I don't know where they were—but they were definitely going on some dirt track tour together, and he got them to get back into dirt track racing. They were having a buttload of fun. So it's just great to see that Kenny Wallace will be racing the SRX series, and he's going to be at Lucas Oil Speedway. So if any Kenny Wallace fans in the state of Indiana, he'll be at Lucas Oil Speedway, which is in Brownsburg.
No, that's the one in Missouri.
Seriously? I thought it was going to be at Lucas Oil Raceway.
No, it's not back at Raceway Park. It's at the track in Missouri.
Oh, dang. Thanks, Max, for fact-checking me. I apologize.
Yeah, come on now, Max. That's an L, because I was going to go to that race.
Yeah, seriously. So it's not Lucas Oil. Are they not having Lucas Oil Raceway this year?
They haven't had it for the last few years. So one of the things is, by the way,
I was going to go.
On the internet, don't ever buy the tickets that – you got to be careful, because on the internet all the time, people are selling tickets to races at the racetrack in Missouri saying it's happening in Indiana. So
thanks,
that's
Max.
A little PSA for that's, you there. But
appreciate that, Max. Might have to make that a PSA on WBDG-FM.
I don't understand the SRX because, again, you have a lot of Indiana drivers in there. I mean, it's Tony Stewart's series.
Yeah, that's true.
You have Ryan Newman. Then you got IndyCar guys. Like, I'm sure Elio and TK will run a couple of races.
Marco won the championship last year.
I don't understand why I don't have Indiana on their schedule. I'm sure at some point we'll come back, but it knows me.
I don't get it. I thought that was Luca. Jeez, I was so excited. Well, it looks like we're going to Eldora. Uncle Don, Uncle Jeff, let's get packed up and go.
Biggest thing for me is, listen, I understand going to Eldora because it's Tony's track.
It's a great track.
But the issue I have with their schedule is it is very inconsistent because – I understand. Okay, Eldora, it makes sense. They want to do dirt track racing. Fine. Go to that every single year. But you cannot keep going to Stafford Springs every single year and then have a new schedule for everyone else. It is unfair that they get to have the track there every single time. I don't know why they keep going there. The racing's fine. It sells out. Every track does that. I don't understand why you would keep going to one track every single year.
And then just change every other track on the schedule, which I don't understand.
We were in Knoxville at the home of the Knoxville Nationals, the Iowa dirt track.
Yeah, that was awesome.
We only went there once.
Yeah, I don't understand. And then they're not even at Nashville. Yeah, they're coming back to Nashville. Never mind. I don't get it, buddy. And then Lucas Oil Raceway, that's a great oval. It's like a mile and a Well, how big is that track? I think like a mile and a half or 2 miles, something like that.
I think it's a mile and a half.
Mile and a half.
I thought it was a mile for some reason.
I thought it was less.
I think it was three fourths. Are we talking about the paved or the
paved?
I thought the paved was around a mile.
Yeah, that's
mile.
What I thought.
I mean, it may be.
I think the paved one is quarter of a mile.
Yeah, but
I just know people are like, we're going to have the Cup Series there, and it's not big. The venue's not ready for that.
No.
I think if, again, I think it would be cool if they added a paved track in the middle of IMS, like they did the road, or like they did the dirt track. I don't think this will happen. I mean, it might with Penske, but I think it would be pretty cool if they did put on a show at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
I mean, don't give Roger Penske any ideas. He'll do it.
I know
sure.
He will, especially if there's money involved. He's like the guy, Donald's brother, Mr. Quack McDuck or whatever.
Quack
from the
Scrooge McDuck.
Scrooge McDuck. He's hungry for money. I don't know.
You know what's crazy? My Nina worked at Kmart, and she met Roger Penske.
He's really nice.
Yeah, really nice guy. Well, that's going to wrap it up for the SRX and NASCAR news. We're going to take a 30-second break here on Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety. You're listening to All Gas and No Brakes. Coming up, Garrett Burke will discuss IndyCar news, and then we'll take another 30-second break, and then we'll wrap the show up with Owen talking about Formula One. This is Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety. You're listening to All Gas and No Brakes.
This conversation can save the life of a loved one.
Dad. So sorry.
Come here. Are you okay?
No.
You've seemed pretty down lately. Have you been thinking about taking your life?
Today, teens are at increased risk for experiencing anxiety and depression, and finding mental health support has become even more challenging. Get help at mylifeisworthliving.org/help and check out our YouTube channel for the first animated series about teen mental health.
Welcome back to All Gas and No Brakes here on Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety. I'm your host, Landon Nelson. Alongside me is Garrett Burkle, Owen Pulley, and Maxwell Gilley. And Garrett, take it away with your IndyCar news.
Well, the first one is a sad one. Just, you know, for me, it was one of my all-time favorite drivers, period. Mr. Tony Kanaan will retire after the 2023 Indianapolis 500. The 25-year-old IndyCar vet will retire at the end of this year's Indianapolis 500. 48-year-old will drive the fourth Arrow McLaren SP entry at the Speedway. And again, he'll have a really good car there, which is awesome. But Tony Kanaan, the 2004 IndyCar champ and the 2013 Indianapolis 500 winner. Now, just a quick story on Kanaan. Kanaan was a guy like Michael Andretti and Scott Goodyear, who always came oh so close to the Indianapolis 500 glory. But he could never quite get there. And then in 2013, he came all over all the odds and was able to win the Indianapolis 500 in 2013, one of my personal favorite race ever. That race is just so good. But Tony Kanaan, he will retire after the season. What a career to TK.
Yeah,
he's done, again, he's done it all.
Personality, man, a fantastic guy.
He's done it all in IndyCar again. 2004 IndyCar champion, the 2013 Indianapolis 500 winner.
7-Eleven car.
That's right. The most competitive Indianapolis 500 ever. He won the 2013 race. So again, it's bittersweet, and I'm sure at the end of the race, he'll shed some tears. But again, Tony Kanaan has been the man. Again, just one of my favorite. Again, probably definitely top five on my IndyCar all time list. TK is so. I'm disappointed that he is retiring. But again, it's probably time for him. You know, not saying that he doesn't have it anymore, because obviously he finished third at the Indianapolis 500 last year. But again, I think he realizes it's his time to go. You know, he wants to, you know, hand it down to other people now. So it is sad, but Tony Kanaan will be in his last Indianapolis 500. And it is, again, it's sad, but at the same time, it is very bittersweet. And Kanaan's quote was, "I'm going to miss it every day of my life, Kanaan." So I don't know what's next for him. He just said he's retiring from IndyCar racing.
Man, does
so
a whole iRacing league.
Yeah, so I'm sure there'll be iRacing.
Streams it on Twitch. I think he already does. Streams
he
it
does,
on,
yeah.
And I'm sure SRX as well for him in the future.
Yeah, agreed.
And he also races channel. Brazilian sports cars with Rubens Barrichello.
Oh, Rubens Barrichello is awesome. Didn't Elio do
it? Elio does do it. I'm sure after he retires from IndyCar full-time, that's where he'll be at. So, again, it is bittersweet seeing, you know, one of my heroes, one of the guys that, you know, I grew up with, you know, retiring. But, again, it is probably his time to go. And, you know, he's done it all in IndyCar. Be a championship and Indy 500, you know, victory. What else can you have to do there? So, again, Tony Kanaan, again, congrats on the great career. And, again, hopefully he'll be holding up two fingers at the end of this year's Indianapolis 500. Joining the two-time winners club, which includes drivers, great drivers. Like Dan, like his one of his best friends, Dan Weldon, Juan Pablo Montoya, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, awesome to awesome for Kanaan, and just so happy that he gets to finish his career with a competitive ride.
You mentioned Juan Pablo Montoya. That 2015 Indianapolis 500 was one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually there, and he came out. He came over all the odds with that car having issues at the beginning of the race, and
he was 32nd at one point.
Yeah, and he wins the Indianapolis 500. What a race!
I love Montoya.
I remember rewatching that race countless times. Mm-hmm. It's just a great race to watch.
See, that's how it is with me in the 2013 race. It helped me get through some personal problems at the time, just watching that race on repeat. So, again, it's going to be weird not seeing Kanaan in IndyCar. I'm sure he'll have – I think he's already said that he's going to have a lot of things to do with the sport. I'm sure he'll take a team manager or something like that. But, again, it was awesome, you know, to see Kanaan, you know, finish off his career at Indianapolis. And, you know, I might even be shedding some tears after the race.
Garrett
Burkle's
going to replace him. He's going to be driving
Actually, Kyle Larson will be. So after Kyle Larson.
Kyle Larson will be Garrett Burkle in the IndyCar.
Zach Brown hit my line. So,
all right, what's next?
So I have another pretty good news story. Is Mike Tirico and Danica Patrick are returning to NBC to cover the Indianapolis 500. I really do like Mike Tirico. He's one of my all-time favorite announcers. On the football side, I think he did a great job of college football and college basketball. And I also, you know, we all know Brent Musburger, one of my favorite announcers. He did the Indy 500 for years. But something about Musburger that was interesting is I always felt when he was there, he always didn't, you know, he liked to be there, but at the same time, he didn't have much interest in it. And you can kind of tell for some of the pre-race things, you know, Brent would rather be doing other things than being there. But I think Mike Tirico has done a fabulous job at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And again, you know, kind of, you know, their pre-race is great. It's, you know, it's almost as good as, you know, the old pre-races that you had with Paul Page, you know, before they, you know, took it up to Paul Page. They used to have really good pre-races as well. So I believe, you know, NBC has done a phenomenal job. The only thing they need to do is bring back the Delta Force intros from the 90s. If you do that, NBC will literally have my heart. But, yeah, and then some other news. Tirico and Danica have been doing it since 2019 as well. I just thought I'd mention that. Another news story is Rosenquist to carry the on-semi backing for four events in the 2023 season. That will be his sponsorship. So Rosenquist does bring a new sponsor in to the sport, which is always great. And then that's pretty much – oh, and then CD sets the launch date for the 100 Days of Indianapolis. It will debut on Thursday, April 29th at 9 p.m. on CW. So
awesome.
Any IndyCar fans, definitely tune into that. I'll be there. I'll be watching.
We'll be watching CW, man. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
It's good for the sport as well to have a series kind of like Drive to Survive. But, you know, 100 days out from the Indianapolis 500.
Isn't
you know,
CW the show that the program channel that hosts like All American? Isn't that the same channel?
I'm not 100% sure. I don't watch a lot of cable TV.
Anyway, let's move it on. Sorry.
Yeah, and that's all my IndyCar news. So, again, didn't have a lot of stories, but I'm sure we will once St. Pete starts up. Just a couple weeks.
Well, thank you for that, Garrett. I appreciate your IndyCar knowledge and input. We're going to take a 30-second break here on Indy Giant 90.9, your station for variety, and then we'll come back with Owen to wrap up the episode with Formula One News. This is Indy Giant 90.9, your station for variety.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Welcome back to All Gas and No Brakes here on Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety. I'm your host, Landon Nelson. Alongside me is Garrett Burkle, Owen Pulley, and Maxwell Gilley. Owen, take it away with your Formula One news.
Yeah, so the season coming up very, very shortly. Preseason testing already underway. And I think that there's some teams that are going to be some big sleeper teams this season, such as Haas. I think that they're one of those teams that they have two great drivers and Nico
Underrated
Hulkenberg
drivers
and,
as
yeah,
well.
Kevin Magnussen, one of those guys. I think that
I love K-Mag, man.
We could honestly, I mean, we saw a poll with K-Mag before the sprint race in Brazil last year. I think that we could see, if possible, I'm just throwing it out there, a possible Haas podium.
Haas podium this season. You think so?
Possibly. I think when you have two pretty good drivers like Haas does right now, I think that we could. And another one that I could see having some consistent top tens. I don't know about consistent all the season, but some possible ones, depending on how good the car is going to be overall, is Aston Martin.
Awesome. Wow. That's Fernando Alonso, two-time Formula One champion, over 20 Grand Prix wins. He's a great driver. Hopefully he'll do really well in the Aston Martin and make it more consistent this year. So, yeah.
Yeah, one team that I'm not too high on right now, honestly, is McLaren. I don't know how they're going to perform right now. The Mercedes engine sounded pretty good. I saw a couple videos. They sound pretty good. I just don't know how it's going to roll over to the McLaren. But speaking of Mercedes engines, Mercedes AMG Petronas F1
team. I love
their
livery.
They got a good livery. They have the least paint out of any car, so a lot of unpainted carbon fiber. And we mentioned that in a previous episode that a lot of cars are going with that. The unpainted carbon fiber, just a black look. Teams like, obviously, Mercedes and Alfa Romeo and Ferrari, to name a few. But I think that Mercedes is going to look pretty good this year. Don't sleep on one of those teams, a team like that.
No, I won't sleep on Mercedes. You have 7-time world champion Lewis Hamilton and an upcoming champion George Russell. I mean, George Russell did fantastic in that car last season, winning a race at Brazil, which no one thought that car was capable of winning a race, especially if you told me at the beginning of the year. I was like, I don't know if they're going to win a race. And then I was like, they're going to eventually win one. I had faith, though, as well. So, yeah. Owen, got anything else, buddy?
Yeah, I do want to talk a little bit about some of the younger drivers and the rookies, such as Nyck de Vries and Logan Armstrong. Talking about the rookies that are, Logan Sargeant. Logan Armstrong is, I believe, is it an IndyCar?
Formula 2.
Formula 2, yeah.
Formula 2, I
believe. But anyway, Logan Sargeant, the Williams driver, one of the rookies, the American driver. I'm excited for him. I think, I remember what I did now. I mixed up the rookie from Formula 1 and the rookie from IndyCar. And got Logan Armstrong instead of Logan Sargeant, because Armstrong's a rookie in IndyCar. But which we can talk about him in a little bit on the next episode. We're running out of a little
Agreed.
Bit of time
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that Nyck de Vries and Logan Sargeant are going to be two good drivers this year.
Thank you for that, Owen. You got anything else, pal?
That's about it. The season coming up, really about 2 weeks away. Drive to Survive coming out.
I'm so pumped.
In about 2 or 3 days.
This season, I'm telling you, Alfa Romeo is going to be strong. I have a feeling that they're going to be really strong this year, my sleeper pick. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up for the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. For Garrett Burkle, for Owen Pulley, and Maxwell Gilley, I'm your host, Landon Nelson. Oh, after this, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be having a game. Owen Pulley to try to defend his crown against Jessica Audie Rash, Big Slammer. And myself will be the host. Big Rob is not here, so you won't be hearing from Big Rob in the show. So we might have someone to fill him in, might not. So we flipped the shows today because Jessica comes here at 8:30. So we flipped it and did All Gas, No Brakes first. So was not disappointed by that at all. So this is Indy's Giant 8.9, your station for variety. You were just now listening to All Gas and No Brakes from every Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:15, only on Indy Giant 90.9, your station for variety. I'm Landon Nelson. We'll see you guys in the next episode of All Gas and No Brakes. See you later, Indianapolis. Peace out.
Big Nelly out.